Okay. We're going to, I'll call the Tax Conference Committee on House File 785 to order. We are going to, since we only have an abbreviated time as compared to last year, Senator, we thought that we would start with what we will title House Offer 1, or it's on the top of the page, it's House Response to Send Items with for Potential Agreement. And we will start with, we'll let Mr. Michael just run through the spreadsheet that hopefully everyone has in front of them. These are items that deal primarily with federal conformity, a couple of sales and use tax items, as long as, and just a couple of property tax aids and credit items. These are items that we hopefully can start by getting fairly quick and easy agreement with these particular items. So, Mr. Michael, would you just like to run through the spreadsheet? And if, why don't, as we go through the spreadsheet in this offer, senators or any House members who have questions, let's raise them as we go through this. So, Mr. Michael?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I'll just quickly run through this relatively short list. On the front page, the first four items are federal update items. First three items are the update items that were in the governor's bill and the Senate passed as part of its tax bill, the Energy Tax Incentives Act, Gulf Opportunity Zone Act, the Katrina bill. This also adds a fourth item, which is the bill that was just enacted by Congress and I believe signed by the President on Wednesday, the Tax Increase Prevention and Reconciliation Act of 2005. So we would update through to include that. The next item is to conform on the married standard deduction amount with federal. This would be prospective only. The Senate, I believe, passed a retroactive provision that would provide for refunds for tax year 2005. The next item is the International Economic Development Zone changes that in the House were part of a bill by Representative Abrams and were passed by the Senate as part of its tax bill. This makes a delays the designation of that zone by 2 years, which is why it shows up as positive revenue savings in the out biennium, and also adjusts the availability of the tax incentives accordingly. Down to the bottom of the page, the first item is property tax exemption for the biomass electric generation facility. I believe that's referred to as the Laurentian facility. That's Representative Rukavina's proposal and Senator Saxby, I think. I'm not sure. Thomasoni. This is the one that's Thomasoni.
Saxby Chambliss.
Thomasoni, I guess. No.
Saxby Chambliss.
Right. Not do well at the Know Your Senators game.
Where does a first name like Saxby come from?
England.
Oh, I don't think he's from England.
The next two items are from the Department of Revenue's bill. Again, we're in the Senate. In the Senate tax, the bill that the Senate passed. This is for the first one's for fractional homesteads for the ag credit that mirrors the change that was made to the homestead credit on homes last year. The DRA severity reduction aid adjustment for class rate changes. Then there's the provision that in the House was Representative Moe's proposal in the Tax Committee, and again was passed by the Senate for aid to Monoman County to offset or help with the loss of tax base that resulted from the transfer of the Indian tribal casino into trust status. Turning to the back page. The first item is actually a provision that was not in the Department of Revenue bill, and I believe it's not passed as part of the Senate bill either. This is a recommendation from the Department of Revenue. Basically, it was a drafting oversight or error in the 2005 update provision where we failed to add a reference to the fact that there's a new section of the Internal Revenue Code that governs this one-time ability to repatriate dividends and pay a 15% tax rate at the federal level. This would make sure that that income only qualifies for our dividend deduction, not for both the federal dividend deduction and the Minnesota deduction. Two excise tax provisions, again, from the Department of Revenue bill. One is to make it clear that when the Commissioner of Revenue sets the per tax in lieu of sales tax rate, that that includes the projection of inflation during the calendar year in which that rate applies. That's the way the department prepared the estimates and has announced the setting of those rates. The second change are a couple of sections that conform to federal law and the definition of flavored malt beverages. The next items were, one is a provision of Representative Rukavina. This was also passed as part of the Senate tax bill, and this provides for homestead class rate classification and credit for individuals who are absent for military service. And here there's a difference between the language that the House Committee considered and what the Senate passed. The House Committee considered a more limited provision, and that recommend or the suggestion here, the offer, is to use that narrower language. The next item is, again, an item from the Senate tax bill, the property tax exemption for the Excelsior Energy Project. With, again, there was a, the House considered some different language than what the Senate passed, and so that would have to be resolved. Sales tax exemption for there's a local sales tax for the Worthington where there's authority for them to have their election later. There's, again, a provision from the Department of Revenue bill clarifying the provision that was enacted last year as to how the sales tax applies to land clearing services. And finally, next, the gravel tax for Sylvan Town. And finally, the temporary aid for, I guess that's, I'm sorry, that's just a summary of the provision that I noted before. That, Mr. Chairman, that's the list.
Representative Lucheski.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Maybe Senator Skoy can help me out here, but isn't the Moll provision here in Manoman County, isn't that Eakin? I think we've got a confusion here. I think Representative Moll is Cass Lake.
You're right.
And I think it's Representative Eakin and Representative Marquardt carried it. I just wanted to clarify that we knew we were talking about the right provision.
I think we need a little bigger number there, Mr. Chairman. Senator Skoy could tell you that maybe we need an extra 80,000 or something.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, when I put this together, I thought that the school aid formulas would pick up the loss in property tax for the school districts. They don't work quite right, and there's about another 80,000 that the school districts are going to lose that I was going to ask the committee to consider.
Ms. Baker, I thought that the when we heard this provision, that the tribe was going to make a voluntary contribution. Is that this year?
The local governments have been working with the tribe. They've actually not committed to paying anything yet, but they are working on a settlement. It's relatively small dollars that they were working on. From my recollection, the total tax lost was $935,000. We subtracted out the state business tax portion of that and the other, the offsetting tribal payments to get to the $600,000. Manoman County's tax rate is 1.79 now, I believe, and if this was to go into effect, it would be just about 2. think they're the highest tax rate county in the state right now, I believe. I that's information from the county auditor that I would have to get to the committee to make sure it's right.
Ms. Baker, did you want to comment?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I do have upstairs, and I could run up and get it, a listing of exactly how much by taxing jurisdiction that the Shooting Star was supposed to pay for payable 19 or for 2006. And you know, you are right, it's 900 and some thousand was the total, and the state amount is 200 and some thousand that is the state general. But I was told by the county auditor that an agreement has pretty much been made of a $70,000 in lieu payment for 5 years to the city. And this $600,000 doesn't reflect that $70,000, but then it also doesn't reflect the $80,000 that the school's going to lose. So those two might about wash. So you'd be still at the $600,000 if that were the case. So, but that's what the county auditor informed me about a week ago when I talked to him. So, but I can get you a listing because the watershed lost some and. You know, he listed the various taxing jurisdictions, and most of it is, the county is obviously the largest chunk.
And Mr. Chair, members, that's right. I know the county and the city were working with the tribe to see what the payment in lieu, we were going to call them, would be, and it wasn't finalized at the time the Senate dealt with this.
Yeah.
Ms. Chairman?
Senator Pogno.
You know, I hate to start out with a conference with an apology, but I think one of our senators who's new to the conference and one of our former Senate staff members maybe got a different memo than the rest of us. I don't believe you sent a memo saying this was casual. and you notice Mr. Michikanis also is casual, and they must have got a slightly different memo, and I apologize for that.
Well, Senator, since we are breaking new ground by meeting Tax Conference Committee meeting in the House, I think we'll allow casual attire for Conference Committee this evening. So,
and if we're meeting in the House, does that mean we can wear sandals also? Or?
I don't think the television camera can see what footwear we have. So.
We do want to welcome Senator Marty. He's this is the first time Tax Conference Committee for Senator Marty, and he's been a good member of the Tax Committee for years. And was a crucial, you might have noticed earlier this year, he was a crucial vote on processing a simple little bill.
Yeah. I think Senator Marty and I agree on that particular simple item. So. I'm glad to see you here, Senator Marty, but maybe we can join forces here in Tax Conference Committee and do some good work. So, Senate response to
on your list,
what the House proposal is.
You are you open to doing retroactivity on standard deduction, just not ready to go there yet, or you just don't want to do money on that?
First, I think the concern is I don't know how much money we have. The second, in discussing that with our staff, is there seems to be quite a bit of difficulty in terms of how that would actually work. Maybe, if you want, we can have the department come up and talk about how retroactivity would be administered. We never discussed that issue in the House Tax Committee.
So you're not necessarily adverse to it. It's just that you're not ready to go there yet. Okay, that's fine. We don't need to.
Two issues. One, as I said, is the complexity of trying to administer retroactivity, and the other one is just from a budget standpoint, how much money we are going to have for this particular piece of legislation.
Okay. The
Senator Belanger.
No, go ahead.
I was going to move to a different topic. You on that?
I've got a different topic here.
Go ahead.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Belanger.
Mr. Chairman, do we have a target?
I believe we can spend everything we want in 08, 09.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Fredrickson caught me this evening, and he said that they can't do anything on supplemental budget until they know what we're going to do in taxes. And to the best of my knowledge, we don't have a target. They don't have a target. Where are we going?
Home. In 3 days. So I think that Senator Pogamiller and I believe that what we need to do is we need to take care of as many items as we possibly can and as quickly as we can. There are going to be probably some outstanding issues that we can't resolve without a target, but I think everyone understands at least one of the key elements that would be great to take care of this year, even if we can't do anything else, is make federal conformity and take that off the table so that, number one, we have simplicity for those people who are having to do their tax calculations, and greater amount of simplicity for the people at the Department of Revenue who have to be responsible for collecting the taxes. So that's why we put first and foremost the issue of federal conformity on the table to talk about if we can get this portion of the tax bill moved. I think that that would go a long way toward moving the agenda. Obviously, there are going to be items that are going to be outstanding until we do get some resolution with leadership and the governor on what may be an agreed to level of spending and what the level of tax reductions would be.
Senator Pogamiller. Mr. Chairman, I think the repatriated foreign dividends added back, that sounds fine, I think, unless other members have questions on that. I think that's okay. Inflation included on per PAC, I think that's okay. We've seen a memo on that, and what we're doing is conforming to kind of a judgment that was made by the department, so I think that makes sense. I think we need to know a little bit more about the excise tax on flavored malt beverages. I don't recall discussing that on our side, but I could be wrong.
Okay. Department of Revenue?
Does anybody in our staff know anything about that one? Line 52.
Malt beverages.
No. We don't yet? Okay.
Mr. Chair, it was a Department of Revenue request.
So we just need to little.
This was this was in the department's technical bill, correct? So,
is this in the Senate tax bill? We just don't recall this one at all. Is there a department here? It is in our bill. Oh, Jack, is this in our bill?
Mr. Manson. Mr. Chairman and committee members. To answer one question, yes, it is in the Senate tax bill, Senator Pogamiller. And what we're trying to propose here is to follow the federal regulations. They made some changes that allow flavoring and other non-beverage materials containing alcohol to be added to fermented malt beverages on how those would be defined. And it depends on the amount of the percent of the alcohol content in the product.
That's enough. I think we got it. Sure, that one's okay, I guess. Homestead clash, we look at the difference. This is a Bach bill on our side. You have tighter language or something?
Ms. Baker?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Pogamiller, actually I do have some copies of the House language that I just, which maybe you want to hand out here. It is different in that what the House did is they took the original Bach language and they, as a result of discussions with both assessors and the department, the House limited that to 4 years to say that the person could get it, but they had to go into the assessor and they could have it for 4 years and then they had to notify the assessor when they got back. What the Senate did is they changed it quite substantially into more of an abatement so that it will be taxed as a non-homestead until that person returns. And then when the person returns, they file for homestead and then file for an abatement and get the tax differential back. And I think one of the reasons the House didn't like that is because then the county and the city and the school, they're out all the dollars. Because any time an abatement is granted, those dollars are just lost. Whereas with the House language, it's really being classified as a homestead to begin with, but it's only limited to 4 years, so there is a restriction. Some assessors said if we didn't put something like this on it, there'd be no way of them knowing, you know, how long this person was gone, and, you know, this person could be gone for 8 years and then come back and say, well, I decided I didn't want to come back to Minnesota and sell their home, which might be on a cabin, and there was just all sorts of kind of questions to leave it so open-ended. So
I don't recall all this, but we were convinced otherwise that we should do it the way the Senate did. Does anybody have a recollection of this yet?
I don't have a copy of the language.
Okay. So this one I think we need to probably think through a little bit. I vaguely recall this discussion, and for some reason I think our staff or the county assessors wanted to do it the way the Senate did it. So, I mean, clearly we can get there on this. We just need to figure out what makes sense. So let's hold that one. Excelsior, you're doing something on Excelsior than we are.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Pogemiller, the difference in that one is that in the original bill, there was not the language that there had to be an agreement between the utility and the host communities to make an in-lieu payment. And that language was added, and that's in the Senate bill. That was not in the original introduced, nor was it in the bill as discussed in the House.
Yeah, I think so. This is, we're talking about the language that is in the Senate.
Okay, we need to see the
file as passed.
We just need to, at staff level, I think we just need to look at that. So lines 55 and 56, let's hold those for now and have, at least at staff level, compare languages and talk about it. Sales on land clearing. Don't recall it. Was that?
Mr. Chair, that's the initiative that is in our bill that deals with clearing of brush, et cetera. I don't know if the language is seen in the House or in the Senate or not.
It's Ms. Dalton.
Mr. Chair, the Senate bill contains the language that staff worked out with the Department of Revenue earlier in the year, so it's not the original language that came in the Department policy bill, but House and Senate staff did meet with the Department of Revenue to make it working. So the language in your bill is what they want.
I'm sorry, Ms. Dalton, so that is the language, it is Senate language as passed?
Mr. Chair, yes.
Okay. So,
that one's, that sounds okay then. So why don't we...
it's your language, Senator.
Right. So let's take this, let's just adopt all of it. I would move, Mr. Chairman, that we adopt this whole list except for 55 and 56, just until staff has a time to compare notes on that. And what on the Nomen, are we going to go up an extra 80,000?
Well, Mr. Chair, Senator Pogemiller, I think maybe Ms. Baker and I should work, take a look at the list and see exactly where we're at. I should talk to the county of Manoman.
Okay.
And,
so,
and we'll come with a number on that.
Ms. Baker.
Mr. Chair and Senators, I also wanted to ask, you know, I just noticed on the Sylvan aggregate tax, I'm wondering if the Senate language isn't a little different than the original introduced. Do you know where it is in the Senate bill right offhand? Because I was thinking that I saw that the Senate added something else to that, and I can't remember where it is exactly.
Article 5. Okay. Thank you. Mr. Chair, Section 18 of Article 14.
In the Senate it is Article 13 and Section 18.
If Okay, members, so we're on page 182, lines 4 through 20.
Ms.
Baker?
I think it is the same.
Okay. So, Senator Pogemiller, is that okay? I mean,
yeah.
It's your language.
Yeah.
Yep. Okay. So we're taking Senate there?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay, so we would, I would move, Mr. Chairman, to take the House sheet, except for just temporary holding off in 55 and 56. But why don't we adopt 55 and 56 with the proviso that after staff looks at the language, we'll pick which language works. And with Manoman, with the proviso that that number needs to be determined. It's roughly 600.
Yeah.
Okay. So I would move that we adopt those, this sheet.
One side or both?
Both sides. Both sides.
Senator Square.
Mr. Chair, just so I'm clear, and we're taking the Senate language and the sales and land clearing provision?
Yes.
That'd be correct. Any further discussion to the motion? Any further discussion? If not, all those in favor of the Pogemiller motion to adopt the article, or to adopt the what is on the spreadsheet? All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed. The provisions are adopted.
Mr. Chairman, I've got a DV0073 that I think you might be interested in.
I'm sorry?
The DV0073 I think you'll be interested in.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, this is something I can't recall if we had actually adopted last year or we were very close to adopting. And I think it would be a good thing to do.
Okay. Senator Pogemiller moves the language of the DV0073. Senator Pogemiller, do you want to just... was this the language originally... which language are we talking about now? This is from...
This was kind of the... The Senate had passed some language along these lines. I think you had also. I think it was originally your bill, if I'm not mistaken. And I think we made some minor changes in the conference. This is on this issue of fee, tax. And I think this just clarifies and kind of avoids any future confusion on these issues. And it also probably gives a little heartburn to Mr. Michael and others. Gives them something to think about.
Mr. Michael, does this cause you a heartburn? Discussion. Yeah, Mr. Michael, do you want to just... I can't remember... I can't remember how this... maybe you could explain to us, Mr. Michael, how this changes from what was... I believe the language in House File 785, members, is on page 354. It is section 30. So, Same language, okay. Any further discussion?
I thought we had made a minor change to it.
Mr. Michael's very good at drafting these things.
Mr. Chairman, the Senate did make a change. The Senate had slightly different language. I think you were concerned that this had implications for the constitutional origination clause and some other things, and so you had, if I recall right, you had made some changes that tried
to protect the
sort
House.
Of finesse that, right?
We probably want that, don't we? Something along those lines, or
I don't think the House does.
You weren't convinced.
The House never was concerned about the origination clause problem.
We have very interesting ways of dealing with that particular clause in the Constitution.
Yeah, I think we should probably look at that language. Is there any way we can pull that up? Michelle, is there any way you can find that language from last year or not? Does anybody know what's going on with the Stadium Conference Committee?
They're in recess till 9 o'clock, Mr. Chair.
Why don't we just hold this for a second? We'll get a call to see if we can dig out what that extra sentence was and just see if it's important enough to worry about.
Yeah.
I think Joanne will have that somewhere in the dark recesses of her files. So why don't we temporarily set aside, Mr. Chairman?
I'm wondering if we have it in the side-by-side?
We're looking. I think I know there's a description of it with side by side, but
We'll dig it out. We'll hold it. Could I just go through a couple of the other items that were in the Senate suggestion and just find out if maybe it was just oversights on your part?
So
we had a...
I don't know that all of our members have that. Or is it in front of us?
Should we get that Xerox? Let's pass that out. It was potential for agreement from Senate suggestions that I think your staff was working off earlier today when you came back with a shorter list.
I got my own.
Line 24, exemption for public radio communications in Itasca. We had done this for the metro area, and I think Itasca County wants to go ahead. It just seemed like the fair thing to do.
Let me get Senator Pogemiller. I believe that... The question we had with that particular one is that we had, I believe in the past, we had done these by region, and so we were wondering why in this case it was just Itasca County.
Apparently they're the only ones kind of moving ahead in that neck of the woods.
Senator Squid.
Senator Pogemiller, I'm trying to remember this discussion, but it seems to me that the state had provided some of the funding for the regions to do this, but Itasca County is raising the money all on their own, and being as how the state wasn't helping financially with the development of the communication systems, that the least we could do was give them their sales tax exemption as the other regions had had. But Itasca County is doing this totally on their own.
House staff, do we remember, was this a bill in the House at all? See, I don't think we ever, I don't know that, again, there was a bill ever introduced in the House, let alone any discussion about it, so. But,
let's give it some thought.
Certainly, if this is the case.
Yeah, I think we just.
That we wouldn't have a problem again if, I know we've done this for other regions, and as I said, the only concern we had, Senator Pogemiller, Senator Square, was that we had, I'm sorry.
Mr. Chair.
Ms. Templin.
There is a bill, House File 4130, by Representative Solberg, that is the that matches Senate File 3754.
Okay.
Well, does it seem like an equitable thing?
Right. Again, Senator, I don't think. Let us just do a little further research on that particular issue, and I, if that is the case, I don't think we have a problem with that.
Okay, then lines 26 and 27, I think, isn't commuter rail going to actually start? I don't know what their time. They've got money in bonding bill previously. Presumably, they're going to get some this year. And it just seems
has the bonding bill been closed up now? Is that?
I don't think so, but it's going to. Presumably, it will be. And so we thought that these are some obvious things that you do for these types of projects. And we put the refund in, frankly, as a way to kind of balance our budget. And then we're told later that the project actually prefers the refund approach. And is Mr. Schreiber here by any chance? Do you know this issue? Do you know why the refund's a better idea? Okay. We were contacted after we had done it. We had done it purely for kind of balancing the budget and then got a note back. I think it was, you know, that this actually works better for the project. It has something to do with their discussions with the federal government on when the money gets released and stuff. So we'd like you to consider that. We do know if there's some opposition to commuter rail on your side, but I think this is one of those things where we're kind of beyond that, and we just need to kind of do what's right here for the project. For low-income housing, Sarah Moa, do you remember what we're doing here?
I've got a couple of low-income housing projects. I'm trying to get to that.
Well, we'd like to look at that. I think that's something Representative Abrams has been thinking about and stuff, but we'd like to move the ball a little further on this, so...
Representative Abrams apologizes up in the Ways and Means Committee, so he should be joining us shortly.
Line 29 is kind of one of our boilerplate exemptions for one of these hydro projects, and we gave it to Crown Hydro and I think one or two rural ones, and so we just, this one's that's kind of in the pipeline south of Crown Hydro. On the, in the downtown area of Minneapolis.
I believe the Ms. Baker can enlighten us a little further, but we've given them an exemption from the personal property tax, but we haven't given an exemption from sales tax. Our understanding is what this is an exemption from sales tax. Ms. Baker?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Pogemiller, I don't think that the sales tax exemption has been given in any of the cases, or if it has, it's very, very unusual. The exemptions are always in just the property, and the sales tax usually gets dropped out. You know, if there are some, it's not common.
Mr. Chair, I would direct the committee to 297A.71, subdivision 33, and its materials and supplies exemption.
But that's an unusual one. I'm talking about the past 10, 15 years that these have been granted. They've normally been for property exemptions,
well,
for personal property.
I think we did Crown Hydro this way, right?
That was last year, Mr. Chair.
Yeah, we did this for Crown Hydro.
Mm.
It's the same... Mm. type of project.
It was probably done after I was gone, Senator.
No, I think you were just so impressed with the project.
Anyway, we will do some further research on that one as well. As I said, we just didn't want to set any precedents, Senator.
Okay.
So
line 30 has been in the Senate bill for about the last 5 or 8 years. In the year of stadiums, don't you think Deep River Falls should have gotten the exemption here also? This was a private contribution by Engelstad, I guess it was, and then Deep River Falls had to do some of the activity here, and for whatever reason, the Department of Revenue just chooses not to fix this, and so this just seems so...
Representative Simpson.
Well, I would thank you, Mr. Chairman. I guess that was my concern or my thoughts on it were I believe the finances were all donated to build this facility, and now the city's coming back and looking for a sales tax redemption. I kind of find it ironic, but I might be wrong. But Senator Scoia, is that correct?
Well, Mr. Chair and Representative Simpson, I'll have to recollect back to my time in the House when I heard this. It's been around a long time, but what I remember is that Mr. Engelstad did donate a considerable amount of money to the city, who then built the building. They ran into some additional costs, and if I remember, Representative Finset was trying to get the sales tax exemption in order to help the city with some of the additional costs that they were incurring and had, you know, incurred. And this is what this effort is about. But it's been a while.
That sounds about right. And the city ended up eating this cost.
Yeah.
It just seemed kind of unfair. Because these are kind of boilerplate exemptions that we give. And I think for some reason the department decided that since it was mostly donated that they shouldn't get this. This isn't going to Engelstad. This is going to the city because they incurred costs here. Mr. Manson may have more on it. But so anyway, that one we'd like you to consider.
Mr. Well, while we're on this, we have, let's hear more about it. Mr. Manson is
behind you.
He's... Mr. Chairman and committee members, my understanding, I don't have my paperwork with me, but I think originally the city was going to own the building, and then I believe it was transferred to a nonprofit, and there's needs to be a kind of an agency relationship set up between the contractor and the nonprofit organization to structure. It has to be structured correctly to get the sales tax exemption, and I guess they didn't go through the process to set that up correctly, so... the actual contractor purchased the materials instead of the nonprofit organization.
So, Senator Pogemiller, how are you actually handling this in your bill?
I think the language allows the department to recognize as if that this transaction had been set up correctly. And basically, I think ultimately it becomes a grant to Thief of the Falls. Take a look at it. I think it seems like a fair thing to do. Lines 34 through 35. I don't remember the details of this, but this was a transfer internally of the Minerals 21st Century Fund. It looks straightforward. We didn't see anything overly interesting about this. Is there? It's all about the money, but it nets to zero, so it doesn't cost anybody anything, and it accomplishes. I think this was something that was supported by the commissioner. Is Thomas on here?
Yeah, back there.
David, you know, can you explain this one real quick?
Mr. Chairman and committee members, this is in regards to the occupation tax on minerals, and after the money is taken out for the various funds such as education, there's about $550,000 left over, and we've transferred it to the 21st Century Minerals Fund to, in an attempt to replenish the fund and to start funding some of the projects that are on the higher range right now.
I'm sorry, Senator Tomasoni, can you just go through that one more time for us, non-rangers?
There's the occupation tax is paid by the mining companies, and what this has done is taken what's left of the occupation tax after that has, council can maybe help me on this, but I'm pretty sure it's after the money has been taken out to do the funding of schools and the various things that it goes, and there's about $550,000 left over from what I can tell here, and then it's transferred to the 21st Century Minerals Fund to attempt to replenish the money that was in that fund a couple years ago.
Mr. Michael, what the... I'm sorry, the, can you just... first of all, the amount of money... this is a provision that is ongoing, it looks as though, and also the amount of dollars is growing going forward?
Mr. Chairman, I think Senator Tomasoni accurately described this. The occupation tax now goes under the Constitution to the school fund, and then there's some that's a portion to the IRRRB. The remaining amount simply goes into the general fund. What the Senate is proposing to do is to set that in, transfer that instead to the 21st Century Minerals Fund, which would then essentially, although it's you know, it shows up on the fiscal sheets as, you know, netting out at zero. The difference is that it's then is in a dedicated fund. And I think the reason why you see that it grows in the next biennium is because the occupation tax is essentially a profits tax on the mining industry. And I suspect that the projections are now that the profits are going to grow because of the health of the steel industry, and so that's why the numbers grow in the out year. But this will reduce the amount of general fund money that's available for other, for sort of general purposes, and instead put it in the 21st Century General Fund.
Give it some thought. Line 42. Senator Moore, remind us the number that is.
Mr. Chair, I believe that that's the, we're trying to do a small fix of the 4D classification that was that we worked on last year, and the MHSA said that some properties were left out that were impacted by this. I don't think any changes were made in the Senate. And I don't know where we are in the House on this. Representative Abrams, I know that the MHSA said that they have been trying to work with members of the House on the language. So,
Representative Abrams.
Well, Mr. Chairman, as I understand it, it was portions of Representative Simpson's bill. As I understand, there were two provisions, one that dealt with 75%, and I think that the argument that was made is that it impacted Greater Minnesota. Representative Simpson, as I recall, the presentation different than the metropolitan area. I do find interesting that one of the horrors that the lobbyists cited in their sheet was about a 150-unit building in which if they had just one more affordable unit, they would have qualified, and they said that that they're going to pay $10,000 in property taxes more. It seems to me they could have adjusted. The other piece is one that we fought over last year, I haven't talked to anybody about, which is if it's subject to an agreement with the local unit of government rather than federal government, and I haven't heard the compelling case there, and I think that even Representative Simpson was a little bit concerned after the bill was presented. But, you know, we're certainly open to talking about it a little bit later with Senator Moore and Senator Pogner. Senator Marty, good to see you. I don't think we've ever served in the conference committee.
43, Metconsul Transit Bonding. So Metconsul's the governor's agency. We thought it was the right thing to do. Did you hear the tuition waiver issue for graduate students? There was lack of clarity over the last few years as to whether tuition waivers had to be counted as income or not. And a whole group of fine arts graduate students got letters saying you owe back taxes. And we think the department has now clarified the language, so it's pretty clear that it should be included in income. And all this says is that for those who were caught during that confusion period, and apparently the institutional folks at the university were even kind of helping people consider how that should be considered, and they did it wrong. And so this was an attempt to just say, okay, let's let those folks who were caught in that confusion, just allow them not to have to pay the back taxes on it. And now it's clear for the future. We had some pretty compelling testimony on this. This was, it's by and large graduate students from either overseas or out of state who are select people who have been brought here, who are pretty important to our institution. You know, they're the best and brightest. And, you know, they don't have the kind of income to... It just seems that maybe we don't have to be that kind of tough on that group. So we hope you'd consider that.
Again, Senator, there was an issue that was not heard in the House. Again, we will certainly take a closer look at that particular issue.
EMS Special Taxing Levy Authority. I don't totally remember that, but who would be Murphy's counterpart? Would that be...
If you talk ambulance, you're talking Duke Powell.
It's either Powell or it might be a local... Somehow we thought this was a pretty local issue, so it could either be the Speaker or...
there he is.
Dempsey. Or maybe Powell.
Representative Powell, did you want to come down and give us some enlightenment about EMS Special Taxing District Levy Authority?
We'll take a look at it. I don't remember the exact details of this, but it seemed pretty straightforward.
I think that this is something, my recollection is this is something that has...
I think this was an extension.
Had it a sunset. And I think the situation is we would be open to extending the sunset, but I'm not sure we wanted to leave it in place forever.
Take a look at it. Seemed like okay thing to do. Line 52 is a governor's rec. Remember that there was that press conference where he and the mayor
I never saw it as a governor's legislation or supplemental issue, I guess.
Well, governor announced a $2 million grant for downtown safety, and we called the governor's office and said, where's the money? And they said, well, you guys will find it. So we found it.
Where did you find it, Senator?
It basically is the one-time money in the tax bill. So I think the House put a placeholder in, or our finance committee put a placeholder of $100,000. So that it probably should have been I guess it's kind of LGA, I don't know. Anyhow, that's a governor's rec. It has my name on it, but it's a governor's rec.
We'll put down Governor Pogamiller.
No, I would never be, even though someone might have read something in the newspaper, I'd never be that presumptuous. Taconite, we should get you a copy. I think we've got Peace in the Valley on Taconite stuff, so we should get you a copy of what all these folks think they should do. Maybe if Thomas is still here, why don't you tell us?
There.
Maybe you could just tell us what the delegation has agreed to.
Chairman, there's a DV0076 amendment.
Do we have that?
If somebody wants to hand
Let's
it over.
So the House can look at it.
And I might point out, Mr. Chairman, I think that you've already adopted the back page, which is the Sylvan Township language. And I don't know if it's the same language as the House has or not, but just so you understand.
Wait until we get the copy.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, you should make sure you wait. And this would show up as vote. This would be line 72 and line 79 on the Senate sheet.
Okay, Mr. Chairman, the first section is about the occupation tax again, and what we're trying to do here is make sure that in the event of a company like Minnesota Steel becomes successful, that they're not being taxed twice on a product, that they just get taxed on the end product for the occupation tax. I think that's a simple explanation of it. If somebody wants more detail, I would have to ask counsel to help me a little bit more on it. The Section 9 is the occupation tax thing that we just talked about. And then on Section 10, it's been suggested that we should add a effective date that would be effective immediately upon passage. What that is about is if you look on line, let's see here. Well, line 6.17 through 6.25 is about a refund that goes back to the companies. And what they do there is they get together with the steel workers and they make decisions on what to do with the refund and how to invest it back into the plant. And in this particular case, what's happening is that the original intent of the language was for the companies to use this money in reinvestment in the facilities themselves. And there's been some desire by the companies to use the money for haulage trucks, and so there's been concern by the both the delegation and some of the workers that these haulage trucks could potentially be the beneficiaries of tax monies as far as the refund is concerned, and that the companies may move them out of the state. So all this language does, and this is, I think, a peace in the valley type language also. All this says is that if the companies do use the money for haulage trucks and they do take them out of the tax relief area, that they would have to refund the money on a prorated basis. The next one uses an increase in the taconite tax as for a 2 cent per ton allocation to cities that or a town that are within a which a taconite is mined or quarry and where concentrate is produced. And section 13 gives a tenth of a cent more to the Range Association of Municipalities and Schools. Section 14 is using a distribution in 2008 for a road that's being moved as a result of some mining. And section 15 is designating some distributions of one of the funds to some of these projects that you see on page 9. And that's kind of a quick summary of what this amendment is about. And I can try and answer any questions if you have any.
Representative Lucheski.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senator Tomasoni, I spoke with Representative Rukavina earlier today, and I know he said this was changing, and he had mentioned a provision for me in your list on page 9 for the city of Orr, and was that taken out? And then
that's not in this particular.
That's not, and then there was another Evelith provision related to the Hockey Hall of Fame, that out as well?
I don't know. I'm not sure. Yeah, I'll have to talk to them, because I'm not sure about that.
Okay, thanks.
Well, Mr. Chairman, if the House would just review this, and we'd like to do as much here as the House thinks fits within their parameters. Public Finance Bill. Public Finance Bill, that we kind of went through that as we always do on the Senate side, and I think you have a process, and we hope you consider some of the provisions there. It's in our omnibus bill somewhere, I forget where, but it's the Public Finance Bill. Tax Compliance Initiative 78, State Auditor's Recommendations. We adopted almost all of her recommendations on tax compliance. She had a report.
Legislative auditor.
Legislative auditor. It was not the state auditor? Okay. Legislative auditor? Yeah. I don't think there was anything too earth-shattering, but there were some, looked like some good suggestions.
Senator, in the with regard to that, that was discussed in an amendment brought to the tax bill. When we had the discussion of the tax bill in the House,
there was one of the few amendments that wasn't adopted to the tax provisions in the House before the bill failed. So it didn't seem to gain a lot of support in the House Tax Committee. So that's I can't really recollect all of the discussion, but as I said, I do recollect that there was an amendment that was brought to add the provision to the House tax bill, and as I said, it didn't fare very well in the House Tax Committee. So we will we can have some further discussions about it.
Let's take a look at it. I mean, I don't recall much of the specifics, but it seemed pretty innocuous stuff, and I think the only reason I'm the author of it is because I'm the chair. There's nothing. I don't even know why the auditor came with recommendations.
Representative Winchester.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It was the legislative auditor, not the state auditor, Mr. Nobles. And the House author was Rick Hansen, and the amendment was offered by Representative Stephen. And the debate, I believe, in the House really centered around that the chair thought the bill ought to go to state gov finance, I think, before taxes or gov ops. And that's kind of far as we got. I don't know that we went. Is that right, Mr. Chairman, do you think? I recall you had a concern that it was referred to the wrong committee. Maybe I'm misrecalling.
Senator Belanger.
Mr. Chairman, that was the bill that I co-authored with Senator Pogemiller. Now, it ultimately became the vehicle that our omnibus tax bill went on and that Representative Bradley is still studying.
Oh, okay. I believe, Senator Pogemiller, I believe that Representative Lincheski is correct that one of the concerns I had was that that is a bill that better considered in the State Government Finance Committee. They are the ones that deal with oversight and the budget of the Department of Revenue. I know that Representative Abrams and I have had this discussion since I formerly chaired the State Government Finance Committee about who had purview over the budget for the Department of Revenue. Been an issue, I think, that's been discussion between House, Senate, and various chairs for some years. So, again, I think.
Chair now. Okay, I understand.
And I still have, I still believe that, again, if you're going to start dealing with the Department of Revenue's budget, it still is in the purview of the State Government Finance Committee, both in the House and the Senate, as they, as those two committees. I think they stack up, and they're similar in terms of their purview. So, have you discussed this with Senator Kiskaden?
As you can tell, this is in this bill. And hopefully within the next few years, we'll even get all the money they raise. And they got this little, you State Department types got this little scam going, where you put a nickel in and then you claim $50 million. And I would think a fiscal conservative like you would want to get a little handle on that.
So. Senator Pogemiller, I never supported the those particular, if we give the Department of Revenue more money, therefore they will collect more in there, and thus we have more to spend. That was a creation under the Department of Finance under the Ventura administration, if you recollect. Never supported those, and so... But we can certainly take a little closer look at the provisions in the Senate bill.
It's not life or death, obviously. Line 83. I over the years, this apparently has been controversial, but you might have seen some news coverage on this lately. I really do think the legislature should take a look at whatever comes out of the department on this. This could affect some of these cities pretty significantly. So I would ask that the House conferees step back from the various stakeholders on this and just think with this kind of significant potential change for some of these communities, one last look by the legislature might not be a bad idea.
Senator Pogemiller, Ms. Baker has was that the Department of Revenue's overview of what the proposed rule changes are, and I believe we could have the Department of Revenue comment as well. But I believe they're talking about a three-year phase-in of the changes with regard to the property, personal property valuation rules. And so I guess the question would be, is that in the minds of the Senate sufficient, or is it something that we need to pay attention to in this year, or is it something that we could deal with next year?
Well, you know, it's obviously up to you, but I mean, the if I were the executive branch, I just think there's a potential political problem here, and that one last look by the legislature would probably be a wise thing to do. But, you know, I...
Where is the... can you refer us to the specific language that you have in your bill?
I don't have... staff can find it. Again, I think that I'm just suggesting, even though it's been Murphy and it's been political and it's greater Minnesota cities that it's involved, I really think that if you just step back for a second, you sit there and you kind of go, if you read the newspaper article, or I forget where it was a newspaper article and it was on NPR, I think, it's one of those things that you sit there and you go, maybe we ought to just have one last look. And I don't, the communities that are affected by this are both Democratic and Republican communities.
Sure. Senator,
I don't know if I want to be the legislator in that community when the bottom falls out. That's my 2 cents advice on that.
Senator, I don't disagree, and I know that there's concern by members in the House, the same as there is concern by members of the Senate. As you said, on both sides of the aisle, this is not a partisan issue by any stretch of the imagination. Do we, again, can you point me to the page?
Mr. Chair, it's Article 5, Section 19, on page 78 of the Senate bill.
What page?
Page 78.
Page 78. So again, Senator, certainly we will take time to revisit that issue, because as you said,
all it does is say, you know, you kind of get a legislative session in there to think about it and see if there's enough activity around it that you want to reconsider. That's all it says. Someone would actually have to proactively do something to change the course of events. Mr. Chairman, registered relative homesteads, I would like you to take a look at that in college communities, but particularly in communities with fairly significant sized colleges, University of Minnesota neighborhood, St. Cloud. You've got families that are buying properties while their children are students there, and giving them relative homestead status. And then as those children graduate, they kind of turn in kind of rental properties. And the neighborhoods are, it's really upsetting a lot of the neighbors. And this is a modest step to at least identify the properties. And so I hope the House would consider this. Representative Loeffler is interested in this. I'm particularly interested. So I hope you would look at that. It simply says that you've got to register these with the local jurisdiction. I think it would help help neighborhoods with some identification and perhaps local action around these properties to make sure that they genuinely are homesteads rather than rental properties.
Well, the difficulty, this is, I believe this was Representative Mullery's...
Loeffler. I think Loeffler.
Anyway, Representative Mullery...
Loeffler's not on taxes, right?
Right. So Representative Mullery brought the issue before the Tax Committee in the House. The difficulty that I saw, Senator, with this provision is, how is it administered? So
all this is a registration. You just have to register with the local community. It doesn't alter the designation of relative homestead or anything else. It just identifies, so there's a list at City Hall of who's got these.
Again, do you have the page number for where it is in your?
Mr. Chair, it's page 73, section 16.
Oh, and it's only if they use it for rental, have roommates. So if it truly is just your children, they don't have to register. But if you have roommates, and that's the circumstance, you end up with one of the children and they have six or eight roommates, and all of a sudden it's a little more than a relative homestead.
So I guess what I have a problem with, Senator, is if we have properties where there's a concern about the number of occupants or concerns about the fact that they are receiving the property as a homestead, that they're going to register. What happens if they don't register? What I have a difficult time understanding is, what is the problem that we are trying to solve, and how are we solving it here?
Typically what happens is you have neighborhood groups who are trying to take care of party houses and drug trafficking and various other things. And they're looking for ways to deal with the situation. And if they had a list of these properties readily available, it would help to alert one type of possible action that City Hall could use, which would be to say, come, have the assessor come in and say, all right, what's going on here? This doesn't appear to be a relative homestead. Because under current law, it's pretty easy to get a relative homestead and to scam the system. And so this would be just a way to identify, okay, relative homestead. Let's take a look and see if that really is a relative homestead. No one would deal with any of this if it was not a potentially problem property. No one would even care. But it's just another little tool in the toolbox that neighborhood groups could maybe use. It doesn't allow them to do anything. It just allows an alerting of the situation where maybe a city council member who wants to try to help now has another tool. That's all. So give it some thought. It seems like a pretty modest... The alternative to this is to tighten up relative homestead. And I need to tell you that this problem is getting so severe in some neighborhoods that that is what the attempt will be next. And that then is going to start affect rural Minnesota, because they're going to say, oh, this was a beautiful thing in our community. Well, it's not a beautiful thing in other communities. This all started out, I believe this started as just kind of for the farmer's kid on the farm. And then it's one of those things that kind of grew. So, anyhow, the next solution will be more severe.
Well, sir, I don't disagree that in some communities surrounding college campuses, likely has been abused. I just don't know that this is the solution. So,
okay.
Senator Skoy.
Mr. Chair, and what I remember of the testimony on this is that, you know, the Senate has restricted this to communities that larger than 25,000. So those communities had, you know, city departments that were capable of handling this, and it was a relatively small number of cities that this could affect. But in those cities, it's an issue. And I agree with Senator Bodenauer. It's something we should take a look at and see if this isn't the solution that we could adopt this year.
Mr. Chairman, line 85, that seems like a boilerplate one. What?
Senator, that was on their list of it.
Oh, that one is on the list? I'm sorry.
Okay.
That one already. Yeah. Duluth, line 88, that's they're going to use that money for the deck. And we think that's different than, this is food and beverages, so it's, this one seemed like it.
I believe the Senate didn't fund the deck in their bonding bill. We were wondering why you would fund, or why would you in the tax bill, you'd support the increase in the food and beverage tax if the Senate didn't fund it, that expansion in the bonding bill.
Two different committees. They should have funded it.
Well, maybe,
perhaps they will.
Maybe you can talk to Senator Langseth and see if he's ready to accept.
I think they can use this regardless of whether they get the bonding or not, so hope you'd consider that.
I mean, the city that has the 1% sales tax, local option sales tax for general use purposes?
I think that's
unlike any other city in the state?
I think that's the one. Yeah, they're a pretty special city.
We thought maybe that Wisconsin would want them. I don't know.
On the TIF provisions, and we should do a few of those. I want to point out, I think Mr. Michael has been working on some language for Lane 98, Brooklyn Park. So hopefully we can do a few of those. Lane 104, Ron, Representative Abrams isn't here, but that we heard a presentation. They're trying to do a fairly significant project up in Ramsey there, and the Port Authority route was the one that worked for them. And I think we, even though it says Port Authority, I don't think we're giving them all the powers there. There's a limited number of powers. I forget what they were. But
what page, again, do you have?
104. Oh, on the bill? I don't know.
On the bill?
Representative Abrams was at a presentation on this with me months ago. Well, this should be under the TIF section, I guess, so. Do we have a page number?
Mr. Chairman, is that page 161, City of Ramsey?
Ramsey, Port Authority, yeah.
Section 31. Section 31, Article 11.
What page?
Page 161, Mr. Chairman.
So how would the provisions that are included in Section 31 on page 161 differ from General Port Authority?
I think this is a subset of General Port Authority powers. I think if that's one that just Mr. Michael will look through, I think Abrams is aware of most of those provisions and just take a look at it. We thought that was worthy of, it's a young Lauer provision, so I don't know who the House member is there.
Representative Abler.
Abler. It seemed like they're doing kind of a new urbanism project there with commercial, industrial, housing, kind of creating a, you know, Ramsey, I don't know, yeah, you know Ramsey,
yeah, Ramsey's in the 6th Congressional District, I know the city of Ramsey, yes.
I think what they're trying to do there, I think, is the future for those kind of communities. They're trying to bring some semblance of community center to that area. It looks like a pretty good project. It's on Highway 10, so hope you'd look at that one. The line 105, that simply extended for a few days the time that the Rochester School District had to certify their property tax, and we checked with the department, and I think this works. It seems to me it was a 7-day extension or something, and I forget all the reasons why they wanted to do this, but the superintendent was up and we thought we'd try it.
I guess the difficulty is we didn't hear it. I guess had a hard time understanding why a 7-day extension.
I don't know if it was 7. Does anybody remember the
7 or 8-day extension?
I think it's fit that with their budgeting process, their local school district's budgeting process. And we did vet it. It was vetted with the department, and it worked in terms of their timing for putting out their various things. So. Does anybody remember? Is it more than that? Why don't you explain?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Pogemiller, the original bill, I believe, asked for a 30-day extension. The amount of time allowed for in the Senate file was the maximum amount of time for the levies to be certified and delivered to the Department of Revenue under their timeline.
I think, was it 7 days at the end or something like that?
I think it was 7 days. Something like
that. Yeah, I'll give it some thought. It just seemed like, I think we only allowed it for 1 or 2 years to see if it worked. The superintendent came up, seemed fairly persuasive. We did come up with the language for the, should we wait for Representative Abrams to leave again, or?
It's fine.
The 0073, the additional language, this subdivision is not intended to extend or limit the application of Article 4, Section 18 of the Constitution of Minnesota. So I'd incorporate that language in the 0073.
I'm sorry, did you want to just read that language again?
This subdivision is not intended to extend or limit the application of Article 4, Section 18 of the Constitution of Minnesota.
Mr. Michael, do you have any problem with the additional language? I don't know how we can put language in statute that would somehow change the Constitution. Do you?
Time to rock and roll.
Mr. Chairman, no, I don't believe so. I think the one factor is that the case law under the origination clause tends to say that it applies to tax bills, and so calling something statutorily a tax conceivably could have an effect on that. My instinct is, like yours, that this isn't going to have an effect on the Constitution, but I don't know that it does any harm either.
Senator Pogemiller?
0073 with that additional sentence. I would move it.
Okay. Senator Pogemiller moves DV 0073 amendment with Representative Abrams.
I want the tape and the minutes to reflect that I'm not voting on this.
Representative Abrams is not voting on this particular amendment. Recuses himself from voting on the amendment. All those in favor of the Pogemiller motion on the DV 0073 signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion prevails. Senator, can we just take a 10-minute recess? Representative Abrams and I need to go up to Ways and Means and vote. So,
get that pension bill out of it?
Something like that. So,
okay.
We'll
pension bills are loose.
We stand in recess.
Good.
Committee stands in recess.
Thank you.
The waiting game.
So we don't
I have a couple of things.
Hey, Paul, how are you doing?
I got to get everything. Yeah, no, he was in the contract. He was not back.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you.
Okay,
have a great day.
Here's the first thing.
Run up and down. Yeah. I was hoping that was going over with the other papers, but there wasn't. It's just nice when they talk about lines. When we adopted that 73, it means 73. And then, that's it. Well, that's what the stuff on the screen. Did that to that spreadsheet up in the house? Yeah. No? Okay. Okay. Oh, yeah. Okay. I know they adopted. That we talked about. Okay, when they would say line 106 or whatever. Okay. Okay.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is that an extra though?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, great. Okay, I'll just borrow that then. Okay. Yeah, okay, and I'll be upstairs. I'll just watch upstairs. Okay. See you later. But, sure. I guess I need to. Yeah, I'll do that. I'll come back down with it. Are you sitting at the table, or?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, I'll just, if they're meeting, I'll just have a page to give it to.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, we'll see you later.
Thank you.
That's why I was thinking if we could pick one. I don't think I brought my old professional.
The jury?
That if we stick with the boat, we have a yeah. Yeah. So the hardcore stuff, yeah. Not even Coke, it's Mountain Dew. That's the hardcore half.
Larry, you like Craft and Crimp. Talk about me some Craft and Crimp. You'd like to share them with me.
We get the alternate link. I can't remember the name, but you know what I'm talking about.
Good stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Good stuff.
don't get the game.
We may use that.
Yeah.
Thanks. Say, Karen?
I don't think
Are they off chatting somewhere? Are they off chatting somewhere? Over there.
Okay.
I think maybe he gathered his conferees together.
Yeah.
He might have done that.
Sure. I don't
And then we get two committees, so you divide by two. But you couldn't divide the 88 by two.
In the real world, you would have gone, there's an 88 by two. That's it. And you use this as, in the leadership pocket, what should we do? We should find that.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lee. If you have anything to say to me, so they got the same news.
Yeah.
I'm with you.
Right, that's what they do.
It took me a long time last night. Much longer. My body was like, oh, what that is? What that is? She's smart. What about? I know, we missed you.
I know, but it's okay.
But where are we?
It's a reason to feel good poker when you're talking about it.
I'm not voting for that without the mic.
There's some feel good puppet language that doesn't do a damn thing.
What, I heard about libraries
tax. Yeah, they've got a sales tax exemption for all local government services. That's probably
all of them.
Oh, yeah,
So the memorabilia tax on both
of
them.
That's
kind of awesome.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, that's your.
So these are all your. Well, we miss you, and Jeff is here.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's why I'm telling you. I think you were.
Well, Larry and I.
Yes, that's a.
Actually, we did make a proposal over there. But that's how they really look to why don't we make it small? I'll go on the
cabin.
You know, nobody thought that was a good idea. Are you guys done?
For the night, yeah.
Where are you? Oh, the latest offers. There's a lot of the house stuff on Quinn's ballpark.
We've got some feel good language on Viking Stadium that doesn't mind anybody's anything. Oh, by the way, Brandon is still alive. Tomorrow morning, that's going to be kicked off.
We understand that they're having heartburn.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Thank you.
No, it's always a 50. If you want to resist this, so there you are.
I think
15 is already set up as you would configure it.
Yeah. All right, I'm out of stuff out of here.
But the thing was, we had so much paper to do that we could have been able to do it. Of course, yeah, but last year, we were looking at the July, the last day, oh, there's really something.
Well, here you are.
Could have been over
but he was driving a Corvette. He never driven.
Big white thing, wet road, big old
man. And he spun out and got into the traffic, and he just spun away.
But, did he just start?
That's what they're doing for now.
But he's been campaigning, he's got a campaign sticker on.
I mentioned this. Unless you make a
shit. Yeah. Right. Well, and maybe, yeah. Well, no, we have one-time money. We could do some combination of stuff here.
Well,
how much are we spending permanent so far? How much have we spent permanent so far?
But
that falls off the cliff.
Are you sold?
is very
yeah, he just stepped up. I told Larry that it's all true. We didn't need to meet separately.
Call the meeting back to order. Senator Pogamiller and I have been to the mountain. Have we? Is that where we were? I don't know.
Is that what you call it?
But there has been an agreement by leadership and the governor that the agreement is that there's going to be $202 million in spending. $202.5 million in spending and $202.5 million in tax relief. So we have a $202.5 million target over 3 years. We haven't really figured out exactly what the number is for permanent money versus one-time money, but we know the number is 202.5. That's what we're going to be working on in the next 24 hours, I believe. The other objective is that we will have this bill wrapped up by tomorrow night. So, with that,
Representative Krieger, I think probably people generally should think of the 202.5 as one-time money.
Yes.
In general sense.
Well, we've already we've already agreed to about $60 million with federal conformity that's on the spreadsheet already, unless we, for some reason, would want to. I don't think we necessarily want to revisit that issue, but
no,
certainly
no.
I think that's $60 million, so we have $142.5 million to go, or thereabouts. We had a couple of issues, Senator, that you wanted to continue to get some additional clarification.
Former Representative Osterman, talk about the hydro.
Oh, our new senator. I forgot.
New rep.
We should congratulate Representative Vandeveer for getting endorsed for the Senate seat in Senate District 52.
That happened tonight, or
so.
It would be better if we didn't have to win the election after that.
Oh, okay. Well, we said to him earlier, said after he experienced the conference committee, maybe he wouldn't want to go to the Senate, but I don't know. So.
Well, the other way to think is if this could be kind of a training run, and if the performance is good performance, he could be sitting here next year.
Maybe he could share that. Maybe he could share the committee in the Senate.
I got to run and try and get my house endorsement.
This is regarding that downstream hydro project.
Yes.
Not Crown Hydro, but Light Crown Hydro.
Crown Hydro. Light Crown Hydro? Crown Hydro.
Like, but not. It's like Crown Cola, but it's not.
Similar.
Yeah.
Or.
Yeah. I'm Lynn Osterman. Thank you for the opportunity to just give you some background on this. This is line number 29 on the spreadsheet, the second one, the four-page, five-page spreadsheet. This is a project that was brought to my attention right at the start of the session, and it happens to be a partnership between two gentlemen, one of whom lives in Representative Abrams' district. It was a request on behalf of this client of mine that we talk with you about a tax provision, which was a sales and property tax relief request, as well as the renewable energy incentive payments. They're seeking an extension. This particular project, as was already mentioned, is on the lower St. Anthony Falls. It is not Crown Hydro. It is larger than Crown Hydro as far as the project would go, but it is about 2 years into their renewable, the incentive payment renewable, the renewable incentives, and they are not in a position to qualify for those in its current state. And so what we're asking you to do is consider not just the property tax exemption, but also possibly include the incentive element, because that was going to be in the energy bill, and those bills are dead. And so we would just ask that you would consider tucking that in here as well.
Representative,
I think that the House will have some interest in the property tax exemption, which we have done routinely over the years. The incentive is something that we all would have to talk to Representative Westrum or whoever deals with that, you know, the sales tax. The sales tax item is something that we've traditionally not done. So I think that's basically where we would be probably coming from.
I think we did the sales for Crown Hydro.
Did we use sales on Crown Hydro? My God, how do we let that one loose? Oh, yeah, I remember. You know, it's all coming back to me, Senator Pogue-Miller. You told me that the 2001 tax bill wasn't going to work dealing with the incentive for changing the coal fire to gas. And pleased to say, for both of our sakes, that it did work. And I think that one of the things you wanted was some help on Crown Hydro. So it worked out for everybody, Senator Pogue-Miller.
Yeah, so often.
You know, just like Representative Rukavina, I'm usually right twice a day. And that one I was right on.
Rukavina said that, or he actually is right?
He's like a broken watch. He's right twice a day.
Any additional questions, comments?
I would appreciate your consideration.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Is Mr. May still here? Mr. Chairman, Mr. May had worked with the Senate on the military deferral on homesteads, and convinced the Senate that the way we drafted it was the right way to go. Maybe I just refresh our memory on all that.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Tom Mayum, the Hennepin County Assessor, and also represent the Minnesota Association of Assessing Officers. The issue is really, I think, one that has very few cases throughout the state. I think there's one so far where a person actually bought a home, never occupied it, but was called to active duty. And, of course, in the homestead statutes, we grant homestead based on ownership and occupancy, and you have to establish occupancy first. What this bill would do is allow them, someone who's called to active duty, to receive the homestead even though they haven't occupied it at that point, but are going to occupy it at a later date. The Senate language act actually would allow the assessor to accept that application, hold the application, and then grant the homestead once the service person actually occupied the home, and give us the ability then to either put it on homestead at that point or abate it for up to 2 years back. And so it would really preserve the homestead to granting it once they actually occupy the property. In the House provision, of course, it would give them 4 years of homestead, as I read it, whether or not they actually do occupy it sometime down the line or not. So that's why our preference was for the Senate language, although it does create a refund of that homestead amount in some cases. And again, I would think this would be used very seldom, because I don't think this would occur that often.
Okay, and
what page in the Senate bill?
Page
73. Page 73, section 15. Is that correct? So, Ms. Baker, again, you want to give me just reiterate the difference between what language we had in the House and the language in the Senate?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, the House language allowed that the property would be classified as homestead for up to 4 years, so not automatically four, but just up to four, and that then the person that is in the military they have to notify the assessor that they're going to be gone, and they have to be on active duty, and notify them when they come back. But it would be homesteaded for that period. And the 4 years was picked somewhat arbitrarily, you know, but it was picked for, you know, which could be picked for any number of years, be it 2 years or 4 years or whatever. But that length of time, the property could be left as homesteaded with the person not occupying it. In the Senate language, the property would be potentially classified as non-homestead if the property was rented out or depending on who used it. And when that military person came back, then the assessor would reclassify it to homestead, and the difference between the homestead and the non-homestead taxes would be figured out, whatever that tax differential would be an abatement, and a refund would be made. However, like Mr. May said, I mean, we're talking here very, very few cases. So, you know, I think either option that the committee decided, we only know of one case that has existed. And so we are not talking about very many potential cases, we don't think, here. So I'm not sure that whichever way is chosen is, that matters too much. And I think the house, just anytime you say the word abatement, it means that money has to be refunded, and that's why the house decided to go with the language where an abatement didn't have to be granted. But, you know, it's not going to be a lot of money. So either way.
Representative Simpson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Chairman, just a technical matter.
Yeah. Senator Pogliano.
The House didn't do anything. Just the tax committee in the House did something.
Right.
Just a technical matter.
Representative Simpson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. May, is this an issue that warrants making change to, or can this be easily done on the local level as it sits right now with an abatement?
Mr. Chair, Representative Simpson, homestead now requires both ownership and occupancy be established. And in this case, occupancy wouldn't be established as of the correct date. So this would be needed to go back or look back to the date they actually acquired the property in this instant. So right now, the assessor would really be faced with a situation where the occupancy hasn't been established. Although you could, I suppose, depending on how long the person is on active duty, they still may qualify by December 1st of that year for the homestead. So it kind of depends on each situation and how long they're actually gone and what the homestead classification is on the property when they actually purchase it.
Thank you.
Okay. I'll move the Senate language on Senate language page 73, section 15. Any further discussion? No further discussion. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those who are opposed. The motion stopped.
And Mr. Chairman, maybe one more item tonight.
Certainly.
Remember we talked about commuter rail refund. Mr. Schreiber is here. And again, it's line 26 and 27 on the at Senate pages. And originally it was just your basic sales tax exemption, and then we were trying to fix our budget to make everything balanced, and we turned it into a refund. And then Mr. Schreiber stopped by my office and said that's actually a better idea anyway. And maybe he could explain why that's a better idea.
Chairman,
Representative Schreiber.
Mr. Chairman, and members, if you recall, this request for the sales tax exemption for commuter rail was to create equity among buses and light rail transit, which also has sales tax exemption. As it relates to North Star, about half of the sales tax exemption will go towards the purchase of the trains and rolling stock. And the cars will be new, the engines will be rebuilt, and they plan on running them on biodiesel, which will be the first passenger rail in the country running on biodiesel to keep our Minnesota farmers happy. As a part of the negotiations with BNSF, the process changed a bit in that the original plan was you would identify the improvements to be made in the track. The state would from a select contractors from a list provided by BNSF that were allowed to work in their track, and the state would be issuing the contract. And so the normal method of that sales tax exemption through that contract would be done. Instead, the current arrangement with BNSF, and there is a memorandum of understanding, places an upfront payment to BNSF, and for that upfront payment, there is a permanent lease or rights to that property that will be granted to the state. But on top of that, the BNSF will be guaranteeing the on-time performance for the passenger rail. But as it relates to the improvements themselves, they will be done on BNSF's time in order to keep the passenger rail on schedule. Now, one of the challenges with the contract was anticipating freight traffic on those lines. And there were, as you might expect, some disagreements over timing of the additional freight traffic. And do you use a 10-year forecast? Do you use a 2-year forecast? Do you look back 2 years? Actually, freight traffic has been growing immensely. So under this arrangement, it won't be the same timing of some of the improvements that we originally anticipated. Knowing this, it was built into the contract that any sales tax savings for BNSF would go, the benefit would accrue to the state of Minnesota rather than BNSF. But the timing, so what you're going to end up with is BNSF doing these improvements. They're going to have to demonstrate that the improvements were made strictly to accommodate the passenger rail service and not for their freight service. So I think that with this arrangement that is now there with the BNSF memorandum of understanding, that the reimbursement that you have in the Senate language now probably works better.
Representative Abrams.
Well, Mr. Chairman, Mr. Schreiber, I'm taking a look at this side of the table. Now, tell me which three of us are supposed to vote for that? It wasn't part of at least the governor's proposal. I've never had anybody from Department of Transportation, Governor's Office, Department of Revenue come to me and talk to me about this. And we have roughly a $202 million target, and we're supposed to put $8.4 million of additional dollars towards this project? Which three?
Pardon?
Which three?
Don't pick on Mr. Schreiber. I'm just trying to send a bill, and we had money for it.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Abrams, my understanding is that the Governor's Office and the Department of Transportation has an interest in this as well, and I'll request that they talk to you individually about it.
You have 24 hours.
Mr. Schreiber, I guess my question is with regard to the timing. I mean, is this something that is necessary to do? I mean, I understand it would be nice to do, but I guess the question would be, is this necessary to do in the context of the project? I mean, you said, I'm sorry, half of the cost, half of this is for, would be rolling stock, and half of it is going to be for track?
And stations.
And stations.
Quarter for track and about a quarter for stations, that's correct.
So the question is, how soon are these things actually going to be moving forward?
The assuming that one can keep this on schedule, the cash flow estimates that I have would have used nearly $1 million in your fiscal 07, which means by June 30th, a year from now. So is it critical? There will be expenditures of a fairly significant amount prior to the end of next year's legislative session, yes.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, the majority of the money will be expended in the following budget.
No further questions.
Tomorrow?
Senator Pocanor.
We're going to do 9:30. We're doing Gophers. Is that what you said? 9 or 9?
Well, Mr. Chairman, I announced it at 9, but seeing that it's midnight, if we wandered in between 9:15 and 9:30, I think that would be fine for you and Senator Moaz. Convenience.
Upstairs.
We're going to be in the old tax room. 200.
Okay.
And we're going to set the table up differently, so we're next to each other. And
we're in session tomorrow at 10. What time are you in?
11.
We'll be in room 15 tomorrow. Can you work while you're in session?
We can certainly try.
Can we try noon tomorrow?
Yeah, we can. Mr. Chairman, you know, my time, depending upon what bills are on the floor and the speaker's availability, I may have to be going between, because if it's a controversial bill, the speaker, if he is busy, wants me in the chair to try to keep things going on an even balance, given that the House is at 68-66, and bad things don't tend to happen when I'm in the chair for whatever reason. So, but I think that we'll try to accommodate you.
No, no, we try now.
We can certainly. Purportedly, there's not going to be much activity on the House floor tomorrow. So, what do we say? 1 o'clock.
1 o'clock.
Okay.
1 o'clock, room 15.
Okay. Meeting adjourned.